Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. In awareness, there is no becoming. There is no end to be gained. There is silent observation without choice and condemnation from which there comes understanding. Jai Krishnamurti. For the next 24 hours, allow the insights from the assignments so far to percolate in awareness. Perhaps review your notes, re-listen to the radio shows, and revisit the recordings you've made to date. Then make a recording that assists you to summarize your process of suffering around control. As you listen to this recording, as you look at conditioning from awareness, without choice or condemnation, what drops in as understanding? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rebecca from the monastery.
Well, hello, Rebecca. What are you
doing? Hi. Well, I love that Krishnamurti quote, and I'm seeing how much the being controlled, and then when I'm identified with that, to acting out the illusion of control, how much of that is kept in place by the belief that it's possible to make a mistake, and
I'm guessing that that's a bad thing.
That making a mistake is
a bad thing.
Exactly.
I mean, there must be awful things that follow that.
Oh, horrible! You know, you just get cast off the planet. Essentially, is where it would end up. You know. And seeing that, so we've had a wonderful workshop here at the monastery of mask making, and I have a thimble's worth of experience in sewing, and
I was good at cutting. I found.
Yeah.
I'm good with scissors, and but there are only so many of those jobs available in.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you know, at some point, you do need to put needle to fabric, and mm-hmm. so I've gotten really good at ripping seams because there have been things that have been sewn incorrectly. And so
that's another good skill.
Yes, it really is, and it's very meditative. And what I was able to see in that process was how. So, there was a ego doing what it's doing, trying to generate some self-hate around having sewn it the pleats in the wrong direction, and then.
Oh my God, Rebecca! You mean you didn't even have the great good fortune to rip out what somebody else had made a mistake
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was
me. Well, you know, and the story was that I'm sure somebody else did this too. So, you know, maybe I was receiving somebody else's, but no, I think they were mostly mine. And it was that process that Krishnamurti points to, I think, of being the observer, choiceless, without condemnation. Because I could mm-hmm. see somebody, the practitioner presumably, kind of saying to self-hate, oh, really? Come on, you're going to try over pleats going in the wrong direction? I don't think so, you know. And mm-hmm. and there was the observing of just not being willing, almost just mocking self-hate for trying to do that. And at the same time experiencing the seam ripper in the hand, the threads, the pull, I mean, everything so exquisite in its movement and sensation and just the awareness of it holding it all.
I'm projecting an extremely kind and compassionate opportunity for you to see self-hate and its illusion of mistakes for what that is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's yes, and how it ties in with control is with the understanding part of it that the quote points to is I could see in just flashes, not like a sustained then thinking or noodling about it, but just in flashes, see my whole life, that process, where it would control me, where it could control me over something as insignificant as pleats being thrown in the wrong direction, you know?
Which is why it tried it.
Yeah. Oh, good point.
Right? It's worked so many times in the past. Yeah. Conditioning, ego doesn't learn, right? Which is a great benefit to us. It would try the same thing that worked before, and it'll try it again. And as you're indicating, in the past, it was able to make you suffer hideously over something as innocuous as sewing pleats in the wrong direction. And by the way, Rebecca, I can't not point out here, you are a person practicing awareness full-time at a monastery, sewing masks for frontline healthcare providers and other endangered people. So clearly you are a person who deserves to be beaten hideously, humiliated publicly for not being a good sewer.
Yes. Oh, that
the
is
whole
such
thing
a good
is just,
perspective.
Yeah,
ludicrous,
the whole thing is just ludicrous. Yeah, it is. It truly is. And the other thing that I think you're pointing out that's helpful to all of us is it takes a while. You know, we start out being willing to be humiliated and beaten over silly little things. And we do that until we get to that point of stepping back and saying, this is ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not going along with that.
Well, and one last little point about that doesn't really feel like a little point, but it's so that in that way, those flashes of seeing how that has controlled me my whole life, that belief, that whole process, even the, quote, big stuff, you know, big relationships ending or stupid financial decisions and all that really, really real stuff, in the seeing it around the stupid stuff, I could see that there is no difference. The goodness.
That it's all stupid stuff.
It's all stupid stuff. Yeah.
You know, in that we go on retreats, right? We used to. With practice, we do stuff all the time for the sole purpose of helping us see that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, crapola, and what it does in our lives. That's the only reason to do that. Is there anything significant about any of it? No, we could say it's all stupid stuff. The only point of everything is helping us wake up and end suffering.
Yeah. Amen. We are so lucky, aren't
all
we?
All right. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Yes,
happy
sewing.
I
am. Thank you. Thank you very much. Take care. Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. I just need to find her to mute her, Sherry. Well, what dropped in for me in that conversation is that it's all stupid stuff, and that we're all practicing to see egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, for what it is, so that we can realize our goodness. That it's all stupid stuff, and therefore what is true is what we are.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the idea, you know, you make a financial decision that, you know, it's not the way you would like to have done it, or a relationship ends and maybe you had a big part in it, or whatever. And we're conditioned to believe that if something is real, if it's actually true, then you deserve to be beaten and humiliated. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Barbara from Chicago.
Well, hello, Barbara. What are you seeing?
I'm doing my best to get off the couch with conditioning, so I'm glad I'm here. And
yeah. Are you standing up when you're talking on the phone?
No, but I'm sitting up. I'm here.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good, good, good.
I could stand up. But what I'm seeing is, and I've been seeing this, it showed up last month too, and over and over again now, is how much of the time I'm not here. Like, oh, depending on the content, it has different kinds of flavor. You know, I'm like doing different kinds of thing. My mind is going in different ways. You know, it's like being taken over in different ways. But all of that results in this not being here. And when I'm, and every day I sit and meditate, or I sit in it, you know, with the intention to meditate, and it kind of blows my mind every time that I could be speaking aloud, which I do in the, you know, recite, doing the daily recitation, and not be here. I mean, I just wake up a million times during that recitation, and it illuminates to me how much I'm doing that. I'm probably doing that in the rest of my life. It's like driving, you know, when you drive somewhere and you don't know how you got there, it's kind of like
yep.
that.
Yep, yep, yep. And isn't it wonderful that you are waking up and realizing that? I mean, if you wake up, if you come to 100 times during the daily recollection, wow, that's 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That's a lot of being there. Right?
Yeah.
And the most important thing about that, of course, is you get to see, I was gone. Now I'm
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So as we continue to practice, of course, we lose interest in the I was gone. The only thing we really are interested in is, oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yay. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
because
I,
if you weren't
yeah.
doing those things, you would not know you're gone. The world is full of people who actually yeah. deeply believe that they are here and they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. So I think what's also happening, which is, I guess, keeping me hooked, is that there's, when I wake up and I realize I've been gone, then the conversation is, wow, you're really distracted. Or, you know, wow, you
yeah.
know, conditioning will tell me how well conditioning is distracting me. Or, you know, it's, and I get hooked in
yep.
that conversation about like how, oh, this is my whole life and I'm not here and blah, 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 you know, whatever that
that's
conversation
right.
is.
And that's the control,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you were hooked by that.
Yeah.
Now you've seen it and you see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another one that you're going to practice with and not fall for. And it's
yeah.
going to lose one more way of controlling you.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And so,
yeah.
You know, we listen to voices we have for a long time that make us believe we want it to be easy. We want it just to be over. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just want to be here, okay?
Yeah.
I just want to be here. Well, okay, but that's not on offer.
Yeah.
Right? What we're doing is waking up. Because if we were just suddenly here, with ego still intact, we
mm-hmm.
would be very, very dangerous.
Mm.
I mean, those two, that's not possible. So it's a hypothetical, but we get to go through cleaning everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning and in fact, Barbara, you know, it's like if your house is just a total mess, and then you do the, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, I Dream of Jeannie, but you twitch
oh,
your
yeah.
nose and it's clean, okay? That makes you one kind of person,
uh-huh.
right? But the uh-huh. person who rolls up her sleeves and digs in and does the cleaning up from a place of love and gratitude and appreciation,
mm-hmm.
that's a different kind of person, and that's the person we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I just, where I keep what just keeps showing up right now is, oh my God, how do I do that? So it's like this frantically, how do I fix it?
No,
it's just another.
Right, that's another one. Yeah. you might jot these down so you can make recordings, right? Okay, there's the next one. That's great, got that one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you so much.
Go happy.
I'm going happy.
Right. Off the couch and going happy.
Off the couch.
Go show.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Barbara. Sherry, when I was listening to that conversation, I was looking at where we are in the retreat, and it is the point where we make the commitment to how we want to be rather than how we have been under the control of ego, right? And it's, I think, what you're pointing out to Barbara, which is we see it, and once we've seen that, then we choose not to do that, right? Or choose not to have our attention on it. And that's that important two-step in practice. You see what causes us to suffer, and then we drop that in order to end suffering. We have to see it, then we have to drop it. And we have to do both things. And so just to set us up for the next 7 days is that's the arc of our retreat. Once we've seen the way in which we're caused to suffer, we're now focused on the ending suffering part.
Mm-hmm. On recognize it, right? Because I see it once, but it's been fooling me for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to recognize it. That's cleaning up the, room after room of the house before I get to that place of it doesn't arise any longer because ego's moved on to something else.
Right.
Not that it won't try to come back, because it will. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Oh, Loren.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Oh, that it's the perfect time to be unmuted. I had an experience very similar to what you were just talking about with the last caller in Ashwini. I somehow had decided, or ego had decided, that because we had been having a Zen workshop every Saturday, that was going to continue forever. And no one had ever said that, but that's what had been decided. And so when this Saturday came around and there was not a Saturday practice offering, I struggled, and I started to feel like I was caught in an identification, maybe, a longer lasting one for the first time in some weeks. I had been practicing so much, and I had this amazing workshop because the different aspects of the personality just started, going throughout the day, and I think going crazy in subtle ways, but just waiting for that moment to really go big, and then. I think we were already on day 13 or something, but I had this realization later in the evening, I'm just back on day 3 right now, where all the voices are coming up, and that's just what I have to do. I just have to get them out again. Okay, so what? I did that last week. I have to recognize them probably 1,000 more times, and so that's what I did. I just did day 3 again.
Uh-huh. And how beautiful to learn through that experience that you know how to provide your own workshop.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's great if Sangha is on and somebody's facilitating a workshop and you're participating. That's wonderful. But if that doesn't happen, you know how to provide a workshop for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of felt like, well, I recognized that I was suffering. And so then, I guess I created my own workshop.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know, it, and then it ended up being perfect for the assignment that we were on too, because I have been in that place so many times where the night comes around and then that's when the voices really want to harp on me about, you know, how I spent time in the day. And well, of course I'm too exhausted to do anything to feel better that night, you know, but I'll get back on track tomorrow or something. And I realized in that moment, you know, that the commitment that I was going to make was to get present right then, even if it meant I had to stay up all night, which I didn't end up having to do. It only took an hour and a half, but I knew there was nothing wrong, and I was going to practice however long it took to get back to knowing that nothing was wrong. And it was just so different than other times when I've had that kind of day of suffering where the practice is motivated by something's wrong and I have to fix it. It's like, no, I know nothing's actually wrong, and this person should get to have that experience now.
Yes, and I know how to provide it for her.
I do. Yeah, and it you know, I said I would stay up all night if that's what it took, and it just actually took about, you know, an hour or an hour and a half. I moved a little bit. I recorded and listened. I worked on the assignment and. And then I knew that nothing was wrong again.
Wow. Isn't that just marvelous? I mean, you did make a recording about all this, right, Loren?
Yes.
You got to make a recording about all this. Yeah.
Yes.
The whole process.
Oh, yes.
The whole process, right? Yes. And then this happened, and then that happened, and then I heard that, and then the voice said that, and then I saw that, and then I did that. And then I realized that, and then the voice said that, and then I, yeah?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. Lovely. Makes me happy. Does it make you happy?
It makes me so happy. It does. I feel like I had probably 24 things that I could have talked to you about today, because it does make me very happy and put me in touch with goodness. Put me in touch with goodness as what is simply so. And so, and it happened, it's so funny, this morning I was going to walk outside, to take a walk, and, a process of suffering started for just a second. And the thing that I was suffering over was whether I was going to listen to recordings or a radio show while I walked. And
whoa.
And again, I just, it's like day three all over again. Okay, well, this is the one that tells me that my goodness is so in question that I have to suffer over whether the radio show or recordings is the thing that's going to make or break me being the right person. I mean, I'm going to take a walk and listen to something. I can see it. I can see it everywhere, and it makes me very happy.
Yeah, that you know what to do about it. You
yes.
recognize it, and you know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you, Loren.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to everyone, and I want to say especially thank you to the people who practice enough that they're available to facilitate these added workshops and things that we're having. It's very inspiring that it's many members of Sangha making it happen.
Yeah.
So thank
yeah.
you.
In fact, Loren, I will take the opportunity to say that that's one of the things that makes me happiest about that, this whole time, is that very often, we talked about it a little bit on Open Air last night, that there are so many people who make practice happen. And oftentimes people have no idea who they are. You know, I mean, you've been on retreat, so you know, you recognize everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have no idea that all of this stuff is going on behind the scenes, and all these incredibly wise and skilled people are making it happen for us. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Very inspiring.
Right.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Loren. Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Lisa.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the first thing I just want to say thank you. This is my second year in the retreat, and I've been working all the time during these days, and I finally had a day off. I am seeing that I feel like there's been a little progress made when conditioning beats me up about stuff that's ridiculous. But yesterday,
very good.
but yesterday I got reprimanded at work, kind of severely, and so I've spent the last 12 hours trying to detach from conditioning because now it says, see, this is a big reason. And this is real. I know it's just a new game. I know it's just a new thing. But so I'm just really identified with it right now.
Well, can I give you a little suggestion?
Please.
I mean, may I? I know I can't.
That's why I called. Yeah.
So, do you see? So let's just briefly. We don't need to go into the content of it, but was there something legitimate in this, or was somebody just having a bad day and took it out on you?
There was something legitimate.
Okay. So this is very good. This is such a marvelous place in awareness practice, because what you can look at now, humility is a big part of awareness practice, right? We have to have the humility to be able to say, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I got identified with ego, and I did that. And thank you, then. There's the gratitude. Thank you for helping me see that, because whatever that was, it's not the only time this is going to appear in my life, right? And so this is a painful way to see it, but usually when we see something big, for ourselves, it is painful the first time. Mm-hmm. It is. It just is. And it's part of what really gets our attention, right? So if we don't let ego and self-hate take that over, then we can move to that place of gratitude. And it's even possible to go back to the other person and say, now, you don't need to hurry into this, but I'm just saying what's possible. To say, I really want to thank you for that, because what I have realized as a result of it is now the odds are good that you will then make that person your very best friend. Because when we're in a position of needing to reprimand somebody, very few people like being in that position. It actually doesn't feel good. Yeah, it doesn't feel good to make people unhappy. And so they probably got some reprimand themselves afterwards, right, from that same self-hating process. And so that can create an opening for us to learn a process that is really going to help us as we go through life, and also be a great kindness to the other folks who are in a position to have to deal with us. Because we all are an opportunity to deal with.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There.
So maybe some recordings about that.
Yes, I think
about the possibility.
Yes. Yes. I can definitely do that, and I appreciate your guidance so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Because, the first great benefit of that is it'll take your attention off that hateful voice in your head.
Yeah, it's been busy.
And turn your attention to the opportunity that this is. And also, don't forget to reassure the practitioner. Let the mentor be there for the practitioner, just in that sense of, it is hard to wake up. It can be extremely jarring and painful to come to unexpectedly. And so to thank the practitioner for for this, being willing to be on this journey.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You take care.
Thank you. Bye, Sherry.
Okay. Bye-bye. Ashwini, are you talking? While
I'm
on mute?
No, I'm trying to mute Lisa. So, Lisa, I was unable to mute you, so if you would mute yourself, that would be great. Well, what I was going to say, Sherry, is that to me, those times that you and Lisa are talking about, as you said, are so precious, because it is really a test of whether or not unconditional love is available to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not about what I do, it's who I am that we're identifying with. And that, over and over again, when it's tested, is sort of the merit of our practice, right? Even then, I love you just the way you are.
Yeah, that is such an important point. And that if unconditional love isn't there for me in one of those very difficult places, then that's really what I got to focus on.
Yes.
Right? Because we can't allow it to be conditional.
No.
We just can't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when we do something just truly unfortunate, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It just means I went unconscious.
That's right. And that it's the test of I'm here to learn. I'm not here to be perfect because I'm already perfect. And that conditionality between the two, right, that my performance is what determines my worth, is something we start to dismantle only in those very, very real times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry, and our assignment today. The way out of suffering is to be engaged in the process of ending suffering. Assignment. As you sit with all you've seen so far about how you're caused to suffer around the process of control, allow to rise in conscious awareness what freedom from suffering would look like for you. How would you rather be with the process of control? What would you choose as the alternative to the habitual conditioned orientation? RL, what you see. Example, I would rather be here for how life is than lost in a conversation that produces anxiety and worry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here we go, huh?
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
So